Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Benching in the Kitchen, and today I'm so happy to have another female perspective in this podcast. So could you tell us your name, please?
Sure, I'm Tracy Moss.
Thank you for accepting this invitation to the podcast. I was praying over the people and you really called my heart for two reasons. And I know we haven't had much interaction, but I'm a person that reads between the lines and between the spaces. And what I saw when I came into the Carlsbad campus was the patience you had for people. And there was a situation where I saw it and I was like, she's about to blow up, but she didn't. And I saw how calm you were. And to me, that was a lesson for me because I'm a short fuse person. So anything lights me up real quick. And I just sat there, I'm like, wow, should I step in and say something? But I just, God was like, let it ride. You'll see what I built my daughter to be. So I don't want to bring the specifics, but I just wanted to tell you that I observed that. And I was just really mesmerized by that because you gave a lot of grace and mercy. And we need that.
Thank you. I love hearing that.
You're welcome. It's all got to work, right?
Ines? Indeed.
So when we started this podcast, as you know, because you listened to one of the episodes with Gina Sir, the verse that God gave me was Philippians 2:12. And I begin every episode reading it to someone and then having their perspective. I'm not here to correct. I just want to hear everyone's perspective because it's based on their walk, their understanding, and their relationship with Jesus, because it's a personal relationship.
Right.
So this verse reads, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. As you hear this verse, what do you feel about it? What are your thoughts?
I love the question to each person because I love hearing other people's perspective as well. And as I was thinking about it, I think the working out piece, you know, I know that my salvation is, I know that that is worked out, that Jesus did that on the cross. But that working out that he talks about there, to me, is what we use a churchy word for of sanctification. But all it means is being changed from the inside out by the Holy Spirit to be more and more like Jesus. And so that's what that means to me, is it's a process like any change has to happen. It's work, it's discipline, it's a process. It oftentimes needs assistance and help. And so I think it's just really important to know that it is a process, and our flesh, our body, what we want is different oftentimes. You know, we hear that in Romans, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. And, you know, it's that perpetual piece of really working out the fleshly piece of our lives to become more and more like Christ. And that's what really a disciple means. So
thank you for that perspective. And that brings me back to what I was telling you that I admired about you, because you were working out your salvation. You were showing somebody, I've been given grace and mercy, here's some of it, or all of it, you know. And I was just mesmerized by that. I think that that's amazing, and thank you so much for your perspective. And I want the listeners to get to know you just a bit. You can share as much as you want, as little as you want, but I just want them to get an essence of who Tracy is and what motivates her, what pushes her to do this daily, because this is a daily workout. You know, we find ways Indeed. To work out salvation, but we also have to be fed. So we're gonna go through all these phases. Could you tell me something about you, your name, where do you work, if you're married, kids, and what church do you attend to? And you could say multiple churches, because I think at this times we're able to, it's like a bag of Skittles, we can take every flavor it's we can true. And mix them up. So yeah, tell us something about you. And
I would love to share. So I'm Tracy Moss, and I'm originally from Missouri, met my husband in high school, and I am happily, happily married. I say it kind of in jest, but not really, is I like him better now than I did when I married him. It's God has been so gracious in the relationship that we have. And we have traveled all over the United States with the United States Marine Corps. He was a Marine for 22 years, and I'm incredibly proud of what he did. He retired out of the Marine Corps, and we are here in Southern California. And I have two daughters that I am so blessed to call friends now because they're young women. And one daughter, Ashley, she is married to a man named John, and they have three children, Coleman, Grace, and Lonnie. So I'm a grandma, or they call me Gigi. And then I have a younger daughter, Emma, who is still at home, but a young woman and doing her thing. She's a gifted musician. So I feel very blessed as a mom and a Gigi. And then I work for North Coast Church. I'm one of the campus pastors at Carlsbad. And I feel so incredibly blessed to be able to even say that. I have been raised in the church, but it's looked very different over the years for me as far as my relationship and really understanding a personal relationship with Jesus. I think we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But in 2007, one of my very best friends and I got together. We had been friends since junior high and catching up, and over the years, you know, sometimes because of children and child rearing years, we were not as connected, but this particular time in our season we were, and we really found that lots of moms were not living life to the fullest. They weren't full of joy and their relationship with God growing and their relationship with their spouse growing. And so we felt called to start a ministry called Living Well Ministry. And it has been going since 2007. And we travel to other countries. We have written a parenting book together called God's Heart for Your Home. And it has just been one of the biggest blessings and honor of my life to be able to feed into the lives of women. So we speak at women's events, churches, leadership events, that kind of thing. And I'm really blessed to still continue to be able to do that. North Coast has allowed me to do that along with my job. They really do bless it when I am asked to go somewhere else and they send me off. And I'm really appreciative of that. And so that's me kind of in a nutshell. I love healthy living, and my husband and I exercise together. We try to eat well. We try to stay active so that we can still be a huge part of our kids' lives and our grandkids' lives and do whatever it is that God's called us to do for this next season.
Thank you for sharing. I'm basically the same. I like to be healthy. And I tell people, it's like, because I want to extend my time. I don't want to shortchange my kids. Right. You know, I know we all have what I call the expiration date, you know, for lack of a word. But I also don't want to, you know, make it sooner just because I'm negligent about my health. So thank you for sharing. I think it's important. Tracy, when could you say that your relationship with Jesus began? Can you share with us briefly?
Sure. I went to church with my mom and my sister since I can remember. But it was really when I turned 9 and we had moved to a new area and my mother found a new church where I learned, actually, can I go back for a second? Because yes. it's a cool story.
Yeah, sure,
we
please.
Lived out in the country in Missouri, and this couple came to my mom and dad's door and said, hey, we are a bus ministry for this particular church. We would love to pick up your kids and keep them for about 5 hours on a Sunday morning, and we'll bring them back. And my parents said, you bet, take my kids on a Sunday morning. And
are they still around? Because I have two of them.
Right, exactly. Well, it's in Missouri. But their names were Fred and Pauline Up, and they're the ones that I would say really were the catalyst for me understanding that Jesus wanted to know me personally. And so it started there. And then in high school, I made some choices that were not great. I still attended church, but I really was not walking that walk. And then it was after high school, and my husband and I started hanging out together, and my brother-in-law became a pastor, that I finally realized that I needed to surrender every aspect of my life, not just say, yes, I'm a Christian. Because I would have said that during that time, but to really fully live for him. So honestly, it was probably more like late 90s, no, I'm sorry, late 80s when that happened. And it just kind of grew from there. And then my husband's parents are Pentecostal pastors of some small churches in Missouri. And it was there that I really learned that God desires to be an active participant in my life every single day. Every action, every interaction, He wants to be active and alive. And so I'm so grateful for my in-laws and what they taught me about the working of the Holy Spirit and how God wants to really use us and be a part of our lives.
Thank you for sharing that. That's amazing. I'm glad you extended that part, because that leads us into our next portion of this podcast, which is talking about the daily, you know, workout that you do. What is it that you do from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep? And so if you can share with us, when you wake up, when Tracy is first thing in the morning, what is the first thing you do?
I love that question, because my family does make a little bit of fun of me because I'm very regimented about that. So when I get up, almost always I will set the alarm before anybody else is getting up. Before I go to bed, that's the last question I typically ask, is like, when'd you set your alarm? Because I want to get up early. I prefer the house to be incredibly quiet. And I come down the stairs and I get my cup of coffee and I have what's called my morning chair. My kids have always called it my morning chair. And it's tucked in my dining room and it has a bookshelf next to it and it's got a blanket on it. And that's where I sit and I invite God to come in and to just meet with me. And I will always have a piece of reading the word. Prayer is a huge component in my life. My mother was a huge prayer warrior. I felt like that was a gift that my mother had, and she taught me the importance of it and the value of it. So I spend a lot of time just going through the word and applying the word to my family members or people that I know that are in need of having some extra support. And so I spend time there. That's where I'm also a list maker. So that's where I actually open up a particular journal that I have for each day. And I make a list of all the things then that I feel like should be on my agenda. And then I let God really work that out for me. And then I get up and I go exercise and then I start my day for whatever it is, at work or play or whatever that is. But I'm pretty regimented in that. And when my kids were little, they would stand at the top of the stairs and they would kind of holler down like, "Are you done in your morning chair?" Because my family knows, and I know as well, we're all better off if I spend time in that morning chair.
I agree. I do something similar, but not in the essence of having a bookshelf. But I do wake up before anybody else wakes up. And I surrender it to the Lord every day, because I'm like, why did you wake up before I did? Because I wanted to have that moment. So I pour a cup of coffee, I get my Bible, and I usually make breakfast for me. But it's also for the Lord. So I sit with Him and I'm like, all right, send me the people. Because I, you know, for my job, I'm like, send me the people that you want to send, and I'll be okay with that. So whether it's 5, 6, 10, 50, doesn't matter. They're all going to be helped. But if you send me one, no problem. You know, so thank you for sharing that. I resonate with what you're saying. And knowing that you like to have, you know, steps, do you set time apart to read scripture and pray throughout the day and to reach out to others?
I do. My morning time, for sure. And then typically a part of what I do at our campus is what we call member care. And so when I read someone's prayer request or their communication card, when I respond to them, I will stop and I will ask the Lord, "Lord, what do they need? You know what they need. I may not know what they need. You know the whole picture." And so I really will just kind of sit with that for a little bit and I'll ask Him, and then whether a word will come to me or a Bible verse in itself, and then maybe a word of maybe anxiety or fear, let's just say, or it's part of their communication card. And I'll think, okay, what is it in the word that I could apply and I could send them as an encouragement? And then I will write my email or I'll make my phone call so that I can speak encouragement and the word over them. I believe that the word is what it says it is. It's active and alive and it's sharp and it does the job we need it to do. So I try very hard not to come up with my own thoughts because God has it there. And so I love using that. So throughout the day, I really do, because of what I do, I find that I get to be in the Word a lot. And it is a lifeline to me. I truly believe that that's what God intended it to be, a map and a moral compass for us and everything in between. And so I'm really grateful that I get to do that. But that's how I would spend a good portion of my day.
Awesome. I think you answered the next question, but if you want to add anything to it, which is fine, you know, what moves you to seek scripture daily? And to share it with others. And I know you shared a little bit, but if you want to add a little bit more to that.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would love people to maybe have a different perspective of is that I truly believe God's word has the answer for anything we're going through or anything somebody else that we know is going through. And so when we read it, the more we read it, the more we spend time in it, the more it one changes us. It does that sanctification process that I was talking about. But then also in the Word, it says the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance or reveal to you. And God does that all the time, but it's because I've spent time in it and He's moved me with it. And so I would love for somebody listening to be like, huh, I should get in there a little bit more and really see how I can apply that to what's going on in my life. Because I would challenge and encourage you that there really is an answer for everything in there.
I definitely believe that. And I also encourage listeners to, you know, a couple of days ago, I talked to someone and it was a mentor of mine. And he said, do you read scripture when you're mad? And I said, no, not at all. He's like, so when you're happy is the only time you open scripture? I'm like, well, yeah, you know? He's like, you will get a different perspective based on every emotion that you're going through. And he's like, the road has been paved. You know this. So how come you're not reading it when you're hurting, when you're mad, when you're upset, angry, bitter? He's like, because every time you read it, you will have a different perspective. And you'll see that if you truly believe that it's, you know, it's the authority, it'll change your life. It'll remove that. It's like me telling you, that was kind of stupid what you were saying, you know? And I just love that he told me that. And to touch back on something you had said really important is saying, I want to be rested to give my best to my family. He also told me that. He said, you gotta rest. You gotta take breaks. You gotta time out on yourself so you're able to give your best to your family. You don't wanna give them tired Pablo. You wanna give them relax Pablo, because he can listen. Tired Pablo doesn't listen. So thank you for affirming that. And that's what I love about this podcast, that everybody's giving a perspective. And I'm like, wow, that's so awesome. So I hope the listeners can get these nuggets and mold them into their daily, you know, workout. What's your favorite verse? The one you go to? I mean, you may, to be honest with you, like I tell everybody that sits with me, I'm like, I'm in love with Ephesians. I love the entire Bible, but Ephesians is just, I get shivers every time I talk about it because it brought me to Christ. It showed me what He created me to be. So it's hard for me to pick a verse. I mean, there's a lot of verses that I'm like, oh, hey, you know, Jeremiah 29:11. You know, all these common ones that you see on TV, or they're really common. But to me, Ephesians, it's it. You know, to me, that I love that book. It told me who I was created for, like, about. Just love in that book. Do you have a book or verse, and why?
I do. I do love Ephesians. You're right. There are lots of books. There are lots of things we could say about it, but I really love James. And James 5:16 is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And I mentioned a little bit ago that I felt like my mom really did have a gift of prayer. And she really did teach me what that looks like, and a heart that trusts God no matter what. And just bringing all of my own life and my children's life. And I feel like as a parent, well, even as a pastor or a friend, it's like oftentimes people go through things that we can't control. We can't change what they're going through. We can't make it different. So the one, and I tend to be a person that loves control. I hate to admit that. That's a piece that I work on. But for a mom or a friend or a wife, for someone who feels like they want to have control, really the only thing I can control is what I bring to the Father. And prayer, I feel like, okay, I can do something. I can't change your situation, but I can go to the foot of the cross and I can lay down for you whatever it is that you are dealing with. Or I can be like her and I can lift your arms up in support of prayer as you grow weary. Or I can just go to the Word and pray the Word over you and just say, God, you say your Word does not return void. And so I use the Word as a way to pray. So to me, just that truth in that one verse, that our prayers really do matter. God listens and His heart is leaning in to hear what we have to say. And does it always change and make things go the way we want? Absolutely not. Oftentimes, things don't go the way we humanly think they should. He tells us that we're not going to understand all of His ways, but I feel like it's such a powerful thing to feel like I can communicate with my Creator, and Jesus Himself, and He will listen to my heart, and then He will do what's best. And I trust truly, if things don't turn out the way that I have prayed or I have asked for, then He really does know best, and I have to trust Him, not the situation.
I completely agree. I can tell you a little story about, you know, working with the food pantry, how sometimes how disappointing it is to say, hey, we run out, but I'll pray with you.
Yeah.
And we'll figure this out. And that's all I can give them sometimes. But there's been times where that's what they needed. It wasn't much about the food. They needed to be fed in a different way. They needed to be given hope. So I have times where that's all I had in my hands. And I feel bad, but then God reminds me, that's what I wanted you to do. So do it. Don't grow weary. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's, it's motivating. And it's, you know, that's what the body of Christ does. We help one another. We support one another. We're not here to be erasers. We're just here to be supportive of one another. When one hurts, we're going to hurt. You know, like I tell my son, when my pinky hurts, it's because my whole hand hurts. So be ready.
Mm-hmm.
What else are you reading? What are you listening to that besides scripture? You know, how do you feed your body?
I have a variety of things. That bookshelf of mine makes my daughter, who's an avid reader, a little bit crazy because I probably have 4 or 5 books that are started at any one time. I've done that my whole life. And I just go back and forth between those, kind of depending on what my day is like, or maybe what I'm looking for, what I'm going to focus on for that particular day. So I have a variety of things. A couple of them right now are Developing Female Leaders by Katie Cole. I love reading from her and hearing how I can be a better mentor and encourager of women in leadership in the church. I love Jo Saxon. She is also a woman's leadership speaker. I listen to her podcast. I do read her books, and I am in actually one of her coaching groups. Love what she's doing. So to develop my own leadership skills, I try to do that occasionally. I am a huge fan of Jenny Allen and the If Gathering, and so I do a lot of listening to their teaching, and I love their, it's like your podcast. It just gives you a different perspective. Right now I'm going through the whole book of Romans with that, and it's just been wonderful to hear another perspective, great content of teaching. And getting ready to start with our women's group, Get Out of Your Head by Jenny Allen, which is, I think, so timely in the time that we're in and our culture, because it really does talk about what kind of battle is the enemy doing in our minds, and how are we taking captive those thoughts, and how are we staying true to the Word of God and what God has called us to do. So I love doing doing things like that will feed my spiritual peace and also my job, that make me better equipped at what I am called to do.
What I've noticed through the minutes that we've been talking is your passion for leadership and mentorship. I strongly believe in mentorship. even before I became a Christian, I always had business mentors, and I say thanks to their leadership. They brought me from what I call the gas station car wash to the actual detailing. And that's how we gotta help others, right? Some of us have that gift, some of us don't. I wanted to just touch a little, because I know that's your passion, and my hope, and I surrender it to God, it's to have women reach and have them hear how important it is, because some of them don't still believe that they should be around women. You know, a while back ago, I can't remember who told me this, he said, for every Paul there's a Timothy, and for every Timothy there's a Paul. And how important that is. Can you tell us more about what that means to you? Why are you so passionate about leadership and mentorship? Because I can see it. You're a great leader, you're a great mentor, because I've talked to people that sort of, you might not have realized, but you were mentoring them. You were giving them, you know, a grasp. And I'm like, where'd you get that from? And they tell me, well, you know, good friend of Tracy, so on and so forth. So could you tell the women, because I'm saying God's going to put this in places of women to hear. So share something for them in regards to being a mentor and looking for mentorship.
I love that. You are absolutely right. It is a passion of mine. I think it's twofold. I am just a learner at heart. I oftentimes say I'd be a professional student if somebody would pay me to do it. So I love learning. I love being challenged. I love new things. And in my previous profession as a speech pathologist, we were always required for our license to keep up continuing ed units. And I loved that idea. And so when I came over into full-time ministry, to me, that doesn't change. It's we should always be working and striving to be better at our call, fine-tuning, sharpening, and doing that with each other. And I find that sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes for us, there's this whole comparative piece, and we're comparing each other and we're wondering where we fit in the whole picture, instead of just thinking, man, I'm going to just take where I am and I am going to cheer other women on. I'm going to challenge them. I'm going to, if they need to get on my belt loop, they can get on my belt loop, or I'll get on theirs, and we will work towards refining each other for the call that God has placed on our lives. And it's also the Titus 2 piece, where the word tells us older women teach the younger women what this looks like. So it really is twofold for me. I feel like it's something that God really has called us to do, and He has not given us platforms to just sit there and make them good for our own selves. It's like, why am I here? Whatever that is, whether you are a, you know, you're at home and you're with those littles right now, that is your platform, and God is encouraging you to challenge and equip and cheer on your children in their faith and in their growth. Or whether you are a corporate leader, and He's given you that platform. Every stage of our life, we have opportunity to look outside of ourselves and to find where people need us and to bring them up. And part of that is, though, I think you have to think, okay, I'm okay with them surpassing me. I'm okay with them being better than me, because my job might be to be the stair step for them. My job may be, you get on my shoulders, because I'll tell you, I am standing on the shoulders of all kinds of women that taught me how to be a Christ follower, taught me how to be a speaker, taught me how to be a writer, taught me how to pastor. There are all kinds of women in my life, and so I feel like we all have that call to do that same thing, and it can be in any vocation. It's not about being called to ministry, vocational ministry. It's looking at your life as a ministry and not letting anybody go by and be the same when they're done with you.
That's, I'm sitting here, and as you're talking, it reminds me of Tony Evans once. I heard through a study, he said that, look at mayonnaise, you know, water and oil don't mix. They need a catalyst, and that's egg. So I think about it, that's who we are as humans, right? We're broken, and it happens to the best of us that we get jealous and are like, why are you better than me? I need to, you know, figure this out, and I need to be better than you. But you're right. allowing somebody to rise up above us and be okay with that, it is a challenge, because I struggle with that, especially here, you know. Yes. Letting go of certain things, like saying, you can take care of this, it's okay, I trust you. But back to the analogy of the mayonnaise, it's crazy, right? If our catalyst is Jesus, we don't worry about that. It no longer exists, jealousy, bitterness. We just mix in and we're like, cool, hey, rise up. So I thank you so much. I know it's going to resonate with women and also men. They're struggling with that. It's a struggle. It's control. So it's so amazing that you share that, because it actually hit my heart right now, because that's something I'm struggling with, is allowing people to grow up above me and say, hey, it's cool, we're all working for the same boss, it's okay, I didn't get a raise but you did, cool, you know,
right,
go ahead, you know, enjoy. I want to share a book that I'm reading. I think you'll be highly interested, because I can see the type of personality. The viewers won't see it, but you know, I'll put a link to it. I don't get anything out of it, but it's called Putting on the New Self. It's an older book, and it's by David Sanderlin. It's an amazing book. It's all about control. Literally from the first page to the last page, talks about control. Let go of the control, you know. And no, you can't control much. So I recommend it, you know, just throwing it out there. Tracy, let's talk about the end of your day. What does that look like? Everything's done. The family is complete. Your husband's complete. They don't need anything else. What is the last thing you do before you close your eyes?
Before I close my eyes, I do make a habit of the last thoughts before I think I'm going to sleep is just really thanking the Lord for everything, from the roof over my head to the man in my life that I love so dearly, to my kids, and to any opportunities that I've had for the day. So I really do try to begin and end with him in mind, and just being really aware that my life would look completely different without Jesus, and just really reflecting back on the day.
I agree. I try to do the same, and when I don't, I'm like, okay, I gotta go back. Right. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I didn't say thank you. Sorry, Lord, I didn't say thank you. So my mornings are usually saying, hey, sorry, I forgot. Let me go back to sleep, wake up again. And then at night, it's always like, you know, thank you, Lord. I started realizing, am I being a good steward of everything I have? And that includes being thankful. I might not do and be the best for everyone around me, but I am thankful for everything. So I try to make that a habit of saying, thank you for all of you think I'm good at, because someone thinks I know I'm not, but I know you see the best in me, so thank you so much. You know, we're getting to the last part of the podcast, which is just a few more questions. What is one area, and I think we touched on it a little bit, that you're looking to surrender, and why?
Yeah, control's always a big fat deal to me, unfortunately. I like to feel like things are going the way I have planned. I'm a planner. I said I was a list maker, all of those pieces. And so God has really given me an opportunity in the last couple of years. And interestingly enough, my best friend that I do my ministry with, we were talking a couple of years ago, and she said, you know, I feel like you're going to be in a season of quiet. And it's probably not much of a shocker, but I really like to talk. I have an opinion about just about anything. You have a problem, I can help you solve it in my head. And so when she said that, I was like, okay, I'll hear that. And then we're talking a little bit longer, and she said, no, really, I really feel like this is going to be a season of, and all I can hear is shh. And I was like, okay. And I trust her, and I trust her, and I give her permission to say hard things to me, because I was kind of fussing, complaining about a couple of things when we were talking. And she was absolutely right. I've gone through a couple of years where I really feel like God has asked me not to be in control, not to say everything I'm thinking, even to him, just a real quiet season. And it's been one of the sweetest seasons in my relationship with him. And he's done some real pruning, And I love in John where it says, I'm the gardener and I will prune you. And originally I was like, man, is this discipline? Like, is he disciplining me? And what I've come to find is the rest of that verse is, it says, so that you will bear more fruit. And so I really feel like this has been a season of letting go of a lot of control, a lot of what I want to say and what I want to do, and really following his lead. And my relationship is sweeter. And I've found that when I've done that, he's shown up in such amazing ways that had I been in the way, and I would have been in the way, it wouldn't have worked out that way. So I'm so grateful. So he's working on me for sure, and refining and pruning, which is not always fun in the moment, but man, I can already look back and be so grateful for it.
Thank you for opening it to us. That's, you know, part of the control is not wanting to speak about control. So, you know, that's great conviction and guidance from the Holy Spirit, because one of my other hopes is for people to start opening up to others and talk about their issues, because I think a lot of people hold on to that. And that's where bitterness comes in. I'm just speaking from experience, you know, not because I've seen it, it's because I've lived it. So the more I hold on to things, the more I think I'm in control, it's when my whole house is in disorder and the enemy comes in and it just makes havoc. And then I'm thinking like, why did this happen? Well, it's because I'm holding on to it. Mm-hmm. It's not mine. It's for me to give it away. Thank you for being vulnerable with us. This is pretty much free time for you. I want you to leave or say something to the listening audience. Whatever it's in your heart, I want you to share with them. Something that it's in your heart that you want to let them know, or you know, make them aware of.
Sure. I'm going to go to one of the questions that you said we might talk about, is what's community to me?
Yes.
And community has always been really important. I'm an extrovert, so I love to be with people. So that's been an easy piece in my life. But in the last, oh, probably 10, 12 years, I have watched community walk itself out in such a way. And what I would want to encourage people is, even if you're an introvert, even if community is difficult and people are difficult to you, we need them. God has told us from the very beginning, it's not good for us to be alone. He is a relational God. He's a triune God. He tells us often to come together and encourage and equip one another. But what I have seen over the last 6 years, and recently, just very recently, and losing a very close friend of mine, is when you build community and you're part of a community of believers, it's when you are in life's greatest storms that's when that really the whole body of Christ becomes so evident to you, because it operates like it's supposed to. And I've watched a young couple in our life group just have some really devastating news and life that they're having to navigate with one of their children. And they've been a part of our community for about 12 years now. And she says over and over again, I don't know how I would do this journey without my community. And then, as I mentioned, I lost a very, very dear friend just a month and a half ago. And she mentored women, fed into women, built into community, lived that out so beautifully. And in the end of her life, it was amazing to watch that community come around and love and support, and now support her family. And so I would just say, we're not meant to do this life alone. The enemy loves nothing more than for us to be isolated and alone and feel like God doesn't care and nobody cares. And that couldn't be further from the truth. And community will keep us in what is true and not really believing those lies. And so I think if I could leave us with anything, it's, boy, we all need community. Don't think we can do this on our own. God tells us that, and we watch it with people who are isolated. And so I just would say community, community, community. It is so incredibly important, and I'm so grateful for the one that God has given me.
I completely agree. I mean, like I told you before, when I came to Christ, like the very next day, I prayed and I'm like, please send me some people because I cannot do this alone. I know who I can be alone, but I know who I can be with people, you know, and just having these men. And then also what's important about me about community is preparing ourselves for that community, because some of us are not ready. I remember the first time I received correction, I was like, who are you to tell me? You know, like, look at you. Like, but then God changed my heart and he said, well, you asked for it, here it is, but it also comes with correction. And I know that you touched that in a little bit, and I love that you were, you know, also a receiver of that, because I've been a receiver and I've been a giver. And I will say it's easier for me to receive than to give, because then I'm trying to control somebody. But you know, I had moments where I had to tell a brother, hey, just so you know, that's not gonna work, man. That's really stupid. You're not stupid, but what you're about to do, it is stupid. You know, talk about it, let's figure this out, let's pray over it. And that's what community does. So we have to be prepared for that, because it's not all, you know, ice cream, sundaes, yogurt. No, it's sometimes it's going to come in a form of a trial and a lesson. And we got to be prepared for that. And that's the thing, is that's how God shows his love. Because then we look at that person to correct it and be like, man, you are so right. And you have the best intentions for me. You know, knowing that they you know, biblically corrected you. You know, of course, there's going to be some people that just want to correct you just because that's who they are. But I enjoy people like that. And I enjoy being corrected. I don't like it, but I enjoy it, because the after effect of that is, it's amazing. I know my wife enjoys me being corrected by many, many men. And she even encourages it. She's like, hey, when we're having issues, have you called Greg? Have you called Sean? Have you talked to him? And I'm like, why are you asking me if I talk to him? And I realize, yeah, she wants me to get corrected a little bit. I call them spiritual spanks, and they do work. Amazing.
Yeah, they do work. And I think that is the piece of community, like where we are, we call them life groups, but whatever group you're in or community you would say you're in. But I think there's something about just checking off the box and attending or being a part of something and really allowing a space where you allow people to say hard things and letting God work in your heart enough to be able to hear those and really let God do the work. And then, like you said, almost, I mean, we don't like it, but to be thankful that somebody is close enough and feels like they can speak into our life. And so I think that is a part of community that not everybody gets. And it is a sweet space to be in when we can really sharpen each other. You know, that whole iron sharpens iron. You know, it's not all ice cream and cake, and that if we really want to grow in our work, in our call, and in our relationships.
Diamonds are forged in pressure, right?
Yes.
And the fake ones are born in the lab.
Right.
It's a great analogy that I keep thinking of. It's like, hey, if I want to be a real diamond, it's going to be a lot of pressure. If I want to be a fake diamond, that's easy. I can go to a lab and get created. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for this amazing time. I know your wisdom is going to definitely resonate in the ears of our audience, whether it's, you know, a female or a male listener. They're going to be joyful. I know I'm fed. I'm my cup's full, and now I can pour into anyone else. I want to encourage listeners, because now with this whole coronavirus, most churches are not open, but we do have online services at North Coast Church. I am still part of North Coast Church. Mm-hmm. We just haven't opened up the children's ministry. But, you know, they can go online, correct, and find the services online.
Yes.
And there's children's services also online that they offer. So I want to encourage the audience to go on either Instagram, I believe, right?
Yes, we have an Instagram page. We have our website at northcoastchurch.com, where you can find all of our content for children, youth, and adults, and also our daily dose. You can sign up for that.
I even signed up for that, and I do listen to it every morning, and it's, you know, a few nuggets of wisdom from different people. And that can be found on the app. If you can go on the Google App Store or the iTunes Store, you can download the North Coast Church and be connected daily, almost, right?
Yes. Monday through Friday, you get just a 5-minute Devo, and I get to participate in those, and I just love it. I didn't even say it in my morning routine, but I start my morning Monday through Friday definitely listening to the Daily Dose as well. So we'd love for people to get on there and check it out.
Cool. Tracy, would you mind closing us in prayer?
I would love it. Thanks so much. It's been an honor to be here too. Thank you so much. Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for technology and for hearts like Pablo, God, to share your word and different perspectives on how to follow hard after you, Lord. We just thank you for this opportunity, God. We bless and we ask that you work in the lives of those who are listening. And God, may we all be called to make your name great. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again for being here.
Thank you so much.
Bye.